O God, take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. And take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. I love Advent. It's my favorite season by far. The one in which the rhythms of the liturgical calendar that we follow first started to make sense deep in my soul. In Advent, I wrote my first sermon, and I was ordained as a priest in this season as well. Advent literally means coming. It's a season of deep expectation of what is to come. In a world already steeped in the holiday season, the season of Advent calls us to do something different, to prepare and to wait for the coming of Christ. While we wait for the obvious coming that we celebrate in the birth of Jesus as a baby, we also are waiting and preparing in Advent for the coming of Christ again, for his coming into the places of our lives that we desperately need the presence of God, and for his coming to heal and make whole this broken world that we live in. In Advent, we live in the tension that Christ has already come among us, and that we also wait for the full presence of God in every place in our world. In many ways, Advent is the season that best represents how we all live our lives, both knowing that the incarnation means that God is involved in our world, and deeply longing for the dream and the kingdom of God to come among us fully. But the truth is, I really love the Advent of the expectant Mary and Elizabeth, waiting for a new child, a new hope to be born in the form of a baby. And that certainly is part of our focus in Advent. But there's another figure that is always present with us in Advent as well, and I struggle with him a little more. John the Baptist. Every Advent, we confront John the Baptist out in the wilderness, eating his locusts and honey and calling us to repent. John is not exactly the easiest character to love. And yet, year after year, he shows up in the first couple weeks of Advent. It's one thing to wait for the joy of Christmas with Mary and the child to come, but it's really hard to choose John the Baptist over the holiday cheer that we long for around this time of year. It's really hard to choose the guy yelling out in the desert over Christmas carols and parties. The truth is, I'm not even sure I would have been one of those folks who went out into the wilderness to meet John. And I would have missed out, which makes me wonder what I'm avoiding and missing out on today. Our passage introduces us to John by telling us the thing that would keep most of us away. We're told that John appears out in the wilderness. And he doesn't just start there. He stays there. Many of us, myself included, love to get out in nature, to hike or ski and just be outside and be in the beauty of the world. But the wilderness means something different in this passage. The wilderness was full of meaning for the first hearers of this story. For Israelites, the wilderness was where their ancestors were lost for 40 years. It was a place where they went when they escaped slavery in Egypt. But after just a short time in the wilderness, they cried out and feared that God had brought them there to die because there was no food. And God gave them manna to eat and provided for them. The wilderness is also where Moses met God, and they were given the Torah, for the Jews, the greatest gift of God. The wilderness became a place of transition for the Israelites, the place where they were prepared to live in the promised land and to become the people of God who were a light to the nations. I believe the truth is that we all spend some time in the wilderness. It's not a place we ever go voluntarily. Rather, it's usually a place that we fear, where we avoid with all that we can, where we doubt we will survive. But the irony is that even though we avoid the wilderness, it's actually the place that we learn that God will not leave us, that God will provide. It's the place where we meet God and are prepared for what God has for us to do. In the wilderness, we wonder if God has left us alone. We wonder where on earth God is. But it's in the wilderness that God meets us, and so perhaps we are in the place we need to be, and perhaps there is something we can learn about it in this season of Advent. Because really, this is the story of Advent, isn't it? This is the season that we remember that God always comes where we believe it's absolutely impossible. This is the season that we remember Elizabeth, the barren woman beyond childbearing years, who amazingly becomes pregnant with this John the Baptist and is told he will prepare the way for the Messiah. And of course, Advent is the season of remembering how Jesus came into our world originally, carried by a young, virgin, unmarried peasant woman. So often the focus of the story becomes a debate about whether or not Mary was a virgin and if that matters. And we lose the point that is being communicated. God comes not just where we least imagine, but at the very places in our lives and our world where we believe that it's impossible. That is precisely where Advent takes us, because there is the place that the glimpse of God breaks into our world, where we have given up hope and cannot imagine a way forward. It's in the wilderness that both of our passages today tell us to prepare the way of the Lord. It's precisely in the place that it seems that no life can grow that we are told to prepare the way. So how can we prepare the way for God when we cannot even imagine new life growing? And that is the work of Advent in our souls. We cannot imagine how God comes into our wilderness, and so we must wait. And waiting is so hard. Waiting means not giving up knowing or planning what will come next. Waiting means giving up control, or maybe just the illusion that we are in control. Waiting can be frightening because it's deeply vulnerable, recognizing that we cannot fix or control what will happen. And yet, it's in that place of vulnerability that we truly prepare the way for God to be born into our lives. And for that, we should be glad. Because the story of the incarnation, of Jesus being born among us, reminds us every year that the way that God comes into our world, the way God becomes present among us, is greater than we could ever ask or imagine. And that is how God always works, coming into the places where we have given up hope of life and bringing new life in a way we never expected, never imagined. It's not for us who do the work, so we must let go of control of how it happens. The work isn't for us to do in this season. Right now, in this season, it's only up to us to prepare the way for the Lord. We are to open the space in our lives for the work of God to happen among us here today. The opening of our gospel gives us a hint to this truth. It'd be easy to pass over the way Mark introduces his account of the life of Jesus, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Notice how he says the beginning of the good news. One of the characteristics that's very unique to the Gospel of Mark is his brevity. It's a breathless account, shorter than any of the others, with no extra words or stories, never any fluff. It's as if he's telling the whole thing in a hurry, constantly connecting each action of Jesus with "and immediately," "and then," "and immediately after that." He doesn't use extra words to make something sound better. He never uses words he doesn't mean. So the fact that he doesn't refer to this story just as the good news of Jesus Christ is significant. Mark understands that he tells us about the what he tells us about the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus is only the beginning of the good news. This is the beginning of the new thing that God is doing in our world, and it will go on and on and on. And so we spend this season waiting for God to come into our lives in new ways, living in that story and living in deep expectation and faith that it will go on in our lives too. Because we celebrate at Christmas did not just happen 2,000 years ago, but continues to happen now. God is still being born among us. And so we must venture into the places of our world and our souls in order to prepare that way. We must open the places of our hearts and our lives to God and each other and wait there, not trying to make them better or control what happens, but rather waiting with the expectation that God will be born among us in a way that we can't currently imagine. So let us go to those places together this season, waiting and expecting, knowing that soon God will be born among us. Amen.